He wants to live without the condemnation, without the expectation of judgment. Now, you know, when we mess up, we don't need to plan to mess up. And if we do mess up, we need to, you know, repent, turn around, get thinking the other way, get our thinking straightened out, because it always starts in that realm. Amen? It doesn't start with the action, it starts with the thought, it starts with the inside, and that's what we need to change. Now, so we don't want to walk according to the flesh, but we want to walk according to the Spirit. To walk according to the flesh means that the idea here is, where is your logic coming from? Does your logic come from the flesh, or does it come from the Spirit? The fleshly logic is going to expect judgment. It's going to expect things to go wrong. It's going to expect that you're going to mess up all the time. It's going to have the wrong kind of expectation. But the expectations, the logic of the Spirit is some of those things we were just singing about. All right, let's go over to Matthew chapter 11. Verse 12. It's one of those verses that you have to really think about. And it's been interpreted and understood a lot of different ways. There probably are some different ways to understand it. I want to kind of take a little different look at it this morning. Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I think there's a positive and a negative here. The Message translation, the Message Bible, says it this way. For a long time now, people have tried to force themselves into the kingdom of God. They've tried to force themselves into the kingdom of God. And what I want us to do is to consider from the other side and say, think that we don't, our life shouldn't have to be force all the time. Our life should be able to be a life of harmony. The word for this morning is going to be the word harmony. That when we harmonize with God, you don't have to be banging your head against the wall all the time. You don't have to cross all the T's and dot all the I's. It's like, you know, you just harmonize with God and life goes the way it's supposed to go. And we need to think about it. Now you need to tune into the Spirit this morning and decide between the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you and you what that harmony means. Because I would expect that every one of us have parts of our life that aren't really in harmony with God. And it would be a good idea to get those things in harmony with God. Amen? If we walk in the Spirit, then we would be in harmony with God. To walk in the Spirit, harmony with God. To walk in the flesh, not harmony with God. Disharmony, disunity. One of the translations for that, walk in the Spirit, is keep in step. Keep walking with Him. Don't get behind, don't get ahead, just walk with Him. That's what disciples do, isn't it? And we are disciples, praise God. Harmonize your life with Him. We word of faith people? Sometimes we live our whole life trying to force things. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make that healing happen. I'm going to make that prosperity happen. I'm going to make that relationship work. And there are things that we need to do. There's Brother Hagin used to talk about the Godward side and the manward side. And we, you know, it's not you just sit back and do nothing. But in the same time, life isn't supposed to be forcing all the time. I'm going to make this happen. Actually, it's God who makes things happen, who's made things happen for us, and we need to flow with Him. Amen? Go farther down in that same chapter, down to verse 28. And you see a pretty good example of harmony that Jesus talked about. When He said, Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. See, that doesn't sound like forcing our way through life. That sounds like harmonizing our way through life, which is altogether different. Now, the Message translation, interesting. Are you tired, worn out, burned out with religion? Come to me, Get away with me and you recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Wow. I think some people live for years and never really take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That phrase by itself would be worth having a message translation. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That sounds like harmony to me. That sounds like flowing instead of struggling through our life. And understand, it's not God, he's not saying nothing will ever go wrong. He's not saying that there won't be challenges. Obviously, there will. I see in our life the New Testament agrees that we will have pressure. We will have temptations, tests, and trial. We'll have persecution. But in the midst of all that, you can still live this way when you're in harmony with God. It's like, I don't like this, but it's okay. And keep moving forward. There is no place to come to where you can just believe God and nothing goes wrong. But there is a place that you can come to where you can believe God and you're still all right, no matter what's going on around you. And this is the harmony that we need to come to in the things of God. Harmonize your life with Him. Now, there's a lot of different ways to illustrate this if you think about it. I was been meditating on it a lot this week, and really the opposite would be the place we come to where we frustrate ourselves because we're not doing this right, or we're not doing that right, or we're not doing enough of this or enough of that. I'm not reading enough. You know, when we hit these obstacles in life and we hit the challenges of life, and so if I was just reading more, I've got to read more, I've got to, you know, and we're forcing our way through life that way. Do we need to read the Bible? Absolutely. But it doesn't work as well when we're trying to force ourselves. I got to do this. I only did 3 verses yesterday. I need to do 4, at least 4 today. And we keep challenging ourselves in that direction. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Think about the Bible. Say it. Speak it over to yourself. But there's a difference between that and forcing. There's a difference. There's a harmony in that instead of a forcing your way through life in that. If you ever played golf at all, how many of you played golf at all? I played a little bit with my grandfather taught me a few things. And one of the things that you find out in golf, you know, you get that big club, that driver, and you see these guys on television and 350, 400 yards now, some of them are driving the ball with the equipment that they have now. So you get that thing, put that ball up on the tee, and then I'm going to send this so far I won't be able to find it. Well, I've had a lot of those, actually. It wasn't because it went far, though. It went the wrong direction. But, you know, so you really get a good grip on the club, and I'm going to swing hard, you know, really get into this. But it turns out the harder you swing, the less far that it goes, or it goes in the wrong direction. Because there's something about it you have to harmonize. The easier that you swing, when you get that swing down right, it'll go a long way without killing yourself. Life is like that, too. Amen? Then there's a flow in relationships. There's a flow in teamwork. I'm a team kind of guy, coaching kind of guy. I think about some of you who are older will remember all the way back to the early years with the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi, and he trained those guys and got them working together, and they had such harmony. They didn't have to struggle. They just flowed together so well that they won a lot of championships that way. In marriage. In any kind of relationship, when there's harmony, it's a lot better than when there's not. Amen? Amen. Most of us know when there is and when there isn't that kind of relationship, that kind of harmony in our relationship. So what I'm saying is, think about that in terms of your relationship with God. Harmony. It's not God looking over my shoulder, waiting for me to mess up the next time. And a lot of Christians live that way, like they almost expect to be a burnt spot on the rug because they know they're going to mess up some along the way. I grew up in a good church, but a lot of what we believed was we're going to mess up during the week And next Sunday, we're going to have to get saved again. And then the following Sunday, get saved again. And hopefully Jesus doesn't come between Sundays because we'll be in big trouble. And that's a hard way to live. I had nightmares about Jesus coming and not being ready and all, like I talked to you about before. But that's not the way to live. You live in harmony. We are capable of messing up. We don't plan to mess up, but if we do, there is therefore now no condemnation. I mean, think about if there was condemnation, if there was that place where you mess up and now you can't come to God, well, we'd have been all out of this thing a long time ago. Everybody out of the pool, that's the end of that. I mean, how long would we have made it had we not had this place where we can come to God without any sense of guilt or condemnation to run boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need? See, when it comes down to the things of God, harmony is an important word, and what goes along with that is yielding. I think a lot of times this is how we yield. And that doesn't work very well, does it? It's going to be okay. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Verse 19 and 20. Familiar scripture, probably have it underlined already. I want to read it out of the Amplified. Amplified Bible, Matthew 18, 19. Again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I'm there among them. Which is, don't you think that verse 20 is the way that services ought to be? We have our two or three gathered together, and when we're meeting as his followers and we're in harmony together, no, great things ought to happen, praise God. And do and will, praise God. But we've talked a lot about this as the prayer of agreement. Two people, two Christians gathered together, and we're going to be in agreement about this thing. And I've taught it before, talked about what you need to be, not just agreeing about this one thing, but in agreement in general. The word symphony comes from this word, or harmony, that we're talking about this morning. But one of the key phrases there is within the will of God. So there's an indication there that it's important that, let's say Diane and I, we're going to pray the prayer of agreement, that we agree, but it's also important that we're harmonizing with God, because he's the one who answers the prayer. He's the one who hears and answers the prayer. So there needs to be a harmony in our walking with God, or I don't know that we could expect very much to happen if we agree together, but it doesn't harmonize with what God wants for our life. I don't see where he's required to bring that to pass. Or flow, you wouldn't want to flow isn't that, because it isn't his will for our life. So first of all, it starts with that, and before we get this kind of agreement, we need to make sure we have that kind of agreement, kind of the cross situation, both of them need to be working both directions, that we have that kind of harmony with God. Praise God, and we are capable of doing this. We are, now that we become not who we used to be, but new creatures in Christ Jesus, we're capable of harmonizing with God. The reason that we struggle with it, I think, is because of religion. Religion has almost indicated it's going to have to be a struggle. You're going to serve God now, it's going to be tough. And, we've even had people will say, so-and-so is living by faith, and we almost feel sorry for him. Poor guy, got to live by faith. And when we're living by faith, in a true sense, we are harmonizing with God. All right, go over to Romans chapter 8. Should I say back to Romans chapter 8, huh? Farther down in that chapter, Romans 8, 26. Reading this out of the New Living Translation. Romans 8, 26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants to pray for. We don't know how we should pray as we ought, the King James says. And isn't that true? You ever find yourself praying for the wrong thing or praying incorrectly? Must be interesting to be on God's side of it in the midst of all that. But praise God, we have the Holy Spirit. We have help. He'll help us pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us or through us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Sounds like tongues. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So the Holy Spirit prays through us and prays in harmony with God's will. And we're talking about, let's be in harmony with God. Let's, instead of fighting through life, let's be in harmony with God. And here's a way to do that. I think sometimes you can pray in the Spirit and pray in your understanding and just know that you're praying with the Holy Spirit's help. And then other times we'll be praying with that language that he gives us. Praise God. Verse 28, probably one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible, in my estimation. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Or as some of the other translations say, all things work together for good. The subject of the sentence is not things. The subject of the sentence is God. In all things, in this situation where there's all things going on, in the midst of all that, God is working for our good. But I think we can put a clause in there of understanding that happens when we're in harmony with him. When we're in harmony with him, then we can expect that whatever's going on, he'll work for us. Now, what religion, again, has come along and said is, in all things work together for good. So whatever comes along, you got to just look at that as it's for your good. So, you know, the kids get sick. It's somehow I've got to figure out how this is good. And, you know, don't have enough finances to go around, but somehow I've got to look, God's doing this somehow, and I've got to figure out why that's good. And it never makes any sense to us, but we're trying to flow with God. We're trying to keep this thing together. But God is not causing a lack of finances in your house, and he's not certainly not bringing sickness or disease to you. He's not bringing the problems. He is the answer, praise God. So in the midst of all that, we need to figure that out and flow with him and know that even when there are challenges, even when things show up, even when we run into a wall, even when there are symptoms and those kind of things, God is still with us, for us, in us, praise God, and it's going to be all right as long as we keep harmonizing with him. The wrong thing to do would be at that point, get out of harmony, get into disharmony with the things of God. We need to flow with him. You need not to get mad at him. And let's be honest, sometimes that's just what we've done. Where were you? Why didn't you help me? I'm honest with you and say, sometimes I felt like God wasn't even on this side of the universe when I was going through some difficult times. And I had to admit, and might as well, because he knows, I was mad at you, angry. And then when you're saying it, the part of your head, mind says, what? He's the answer. But, you know, we've again, got to be honest with ourselves and admit and change the way that we think. He's not the problem, he's the answer, praise God. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. Thank God. So that his son would be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Woo. Now, well, we're understanding, I think, if you've been around for a while, more of what right standing or righteousness means. It means things as they should be. When we have right standing with God because we're born again, things are on the inside of us at least where they ought to be. So when we're living that way, then we're living in harmony with God. We're not only righteous, but we're living righteously. then there's a harmony, and then things are as they ought to be. And in the midst of the challenges of life, things are still as they ought to be. It's a good place to be. And what's God doing? He's making us like His Son. We are on the inside. Christ in me, the hope of glory, and we want to have a manifestation of that on the outside. As far as the world's concerned, after a while, is that it ought to be little Jesus running around everywhere, just acting like Him, talking like Him, thinking like Him. And remember that He ran into some problems. He ran into some challenges. He ran into some serious challenges in His life, but He harmonized with God. And the hardest thing for Him, I'm sure, would have been, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When He had to come in disharmony with God because of our sins, and yet He had to trust God to get Him back to that place again of harmony with Him. I can't really even get my mind around that, but I believe it's true because the Word says about you. All right, back to Matthew again. Chapter 6. Verse 33. I think there's something up on the wall like that. Different translation. I think this is New Living, Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He'll give you everything you need. Interesting way to look at it, isn't it? Just a little different. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Now, I'm just saying, to live righteously would be to live as things ought to be. This is the way it ought to be. Not because I'm a bull in a china closet forcing my way through life, but just this is the way it should be. Read my Bible because that's the way it should be. Pray because, well, that's how things should be. Don't do this because that's how things should be. I do that because that's how things should be. There's a difference between that and forcing our way through life. Difference between that harmony that we can have with God. And really what this comes down to is, I mean, the promise here is, if you harmonize your life with God, He takes care of everything. And we don't have to expend a lot of energy trying to get the stuff. And haven't we done that? Amen? I have said myself, I have so much faith, and I can't be stretching it out in all these different directions. But when you come to this place of harmony and you know He's taking care of everything for you, you know, as a born-again child of God, you have faith. You have a measure, or the measure of God kind of faith. So you are capable of believing Him and trusting Him. So you can do what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. You can trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. You can. Praise God. And that certainly would be a place of harmony, wouldn't it? A place that we need to come to. It's like when it comes to these kind of things of getting stuff, getting the things that we need, it's a lot like that golf swing. Sometimes the harder that we try, the less it works. All right, James, chapter 4. Verse 1. James 4:1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Probably that's more metaphorical than, hopefully, than actually going out and murdering someone. But, you know, to even desire to get into jealousy and envy and those kind of things is, in effect, in some ways, murder. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, understand this, and see, we compare Scripture with Scripture, and we know that from other Scripture, it's not wrong to want things. It's not wrong to want all our needs met. It's not wrong to go beyond our needs and have our desires met. The Scripture in the Old Testament says He creates the desires of our heart. He'll even cause you to desire the right things, praise God, and those can be fulfilled, amen? So it's not a problem of just wanting stuff. It's the attitude that we have in the midst of it that can become a problem. Because, you know, we can easily get an attitude, well, I was believing in God and that person got the answer to prayer first. What's with this? Instead of rejoicing that they got an answer and a manifestation, we get into envy and jealousy and those kind of things. One of the study Bibles says this. Now James emphasized the strife so common amongst his readers, stemming from their unsatisfied, selfish desires. Instead of wrestling with God in prayer, these believers are striving with one another. Well, that wouldn't be harmony. Wouldn't be harmony. Next week we're going to do communion. One of the things we're reminded in 1 Corinthians 11 about communion is that we need to rightly discern the body of Christ, and we are the body of Christ, and if we can't get along here, if we can't harmonize with each other in the body of Christ, how are we going to harmonize with Christ? How are we going to harmonize with Him? And the Bible will say, well, go and deal with the things with your brother. Make sure you've forgiven your brother. Make sure you've got things right between you and him. Even sometimes don't do anything else, but go right and get that taken care of first, because harmony is important. Even in your physical body, when your body is not harmonizing like it's supposed to, things go wrong. And disease shows up. Disease really is an indication that it's not harmonizing like it's supposed to. When everything works like it's supposed to, our bodies heal themselves, praise God. So this body of Christ that we are together, we need to have harmony. So when the feelings first come up, what's that all about? And why did he say that? And why did he say this? And where is he? And why did he show up? And all those kind of things. We need to deal with that right away, because we need harmony in the body if we're going to have harmony with God. Praise God. A couple more things and we'll pull this together here. There is, I guess, a law of synchronicity. Everybody say synchronicity. I just wanted to see if you could say it. Here's how it's defined. When a person holds a clear-cut purpose in their mind, they are able to synchronize the events in their life with that purpose, thereby giving those events meaning or value. When a person holds a clear-cut purpose in their mind, they are able to synchronize the events in their life with that purpose and thereby giving those events meaning or value. You know, one of the problems with us as Christians is we don't really have a purpose. We were reading there, if you paid attention to Romans 8:28, God works together in all things for those who are called according to his purpose. So we need to find out what God's purpose, that there are general specific purposes that God has for everybody and some specific purpose that he has just for you. And we should have a pretty good idea what that is, because when you're flowing in that, that's harmony and things begin to work right, praise God, which is how it's supposed to be. We could break those general purposes down into two things. Follow God with all your heart. That just makes sense, doesn't it? Not half-heartedly, not once in a while. Don't put God in a little box and then everything else, and then every once in a while, God. That God isn't a Sunday morning God or a Thursday night God. He's a God all the time, praise God. And if you're going to serve me, you might as well serve him all the time. That should be the purpose of our life. And the other thing would be to walk in love. What if just those two general things were really the flow of our life? I'm just going to serve God. Pull out all the stops, just serve Him. And I'm just going to love. Just going to love people. Just going to see value in people regardless of whether they look like they're valuable or not. Because whether they're acting like they're valuable or not. Just going to do that. Man, what harmony there would be in that. Amen? Sounds kind of like what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love one another. Love your neighbor. One other definition. Serendipity. If I'm pursuing a worthy cause, then along the way, I find all the resources I need for life. Somebody said serendipity is a fortunate accident. Which, think about it, and when you're really, when you're, the purposes of your life are right, and you're flowing with God, in harmony with God, things happen, and wow, didn't see that one coming, but I like it. Which is nice in the midst of, you know, challenges and all those other things, but, you know, all of a sudden there's a relationship there that you needed in your life, and all of a sudden there's some stuff there that you didn't even know that you needed, but you did. Praise God, because the purposes of your life are right, and you're harmonizing with God, things get taken care of. Harmony. This group up behind me does a good job with their harmony, and it makes all the difference in the world when they're harmonizing. We need to harmonize our lives with God. Let's think about that as we continue to worship.